Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
Hey, and good Saturday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Ipsy Ed Bondarenk.
Hey, you pronounced that quite well. Thank you.
It seems like it, right?
Yes.
It's pretty easy. Phonetically, it's perfect, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, well, there you go. So, well, what we do on The Drift every Saturday is go over the news that I put on thedailydrift.com, and if you're not going there, you should. It's the
news you need to know.
Yes, thank you very much. That's perfect for you. So, if you missed the show live with Ed and I, you can always catch it on podcast at Spreaker and YouTube and SoundCloud and on talkamericaradio.us on Saturday and Sunday evenings as well. So
links on thedrift.com also.
Yeah, we archive it on thedailydrift.com, so it goes back to 2011. You can go all the way back and catch my very first show.
Catch him at all his mistakes. Just binge listen. Listen for how he was right and wrong.
Yeah, well, am I ever wrong? Yes, I've been wrong.
I don't remember the last election.
I started out with Herman Cain, right? And I dropped one after the other. Yeah. This election, I was with Trump pretty much from the beginning. So, okay. Well, anyways, let's take care of a little business. La Casa is a great nonprofit up in Brighton, and they are having a grand opening of their store. They do lots of things for families. And next Friday through Sunday, that's September 8th, 9th, and 10th, they're celebrating a grand opening of their new La Casa collection. It's a new upscale resale store featuring furniture, home decor, jewelry, clothing, blah, blah, blah. And you can reach them at 517-445-5050. They are a very worthy cause to contribute to help out. And so if you can make that grand opening next week, give them a call, 517-445-5050. Or you can get details at LaCasa, L-A-C-A-S-A, collection.org. Okay, there we go. Well, we've got, it's the first Saturday of the month, and like the sirens that go off all the time, we have Michigan 7th District Congressman Tim Walberg joining us today. Tim, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you.
Hey, Tim.
Yeah, so this is going to be a tough show, Tim. Lots to talk about. What do you got off the top of your head? That's something you want to get out so we don't miss it?
Well, you know, I think we start the session again this coming Tuesday, and it is a full September, October that is lining up for us. You've heard all the talk. Now added to that is concerns about how we assist and what's the responsibility for and the priorities for Houston and the Texas communities that have been inundated with water at a level that maybe hasn't seen since the flood in many cases. So
yeah, well, that's the once in a thousand year flood or whatever they said. I mean, it's not something you can really account for, I guess. Ed and I were talking before the show that do we have to bail out the insurance companies now? Because I have a deep seated, like a lot of people, anger with insurance companies because you pay, and the only value add that they really deliver, because they don't do a whole lot, is pay for these instances. Yet it seems like every time there is a national disaster like this, the insurance companies got their hands out saying, we've been collecting all these years, but I don't know what we've been doing with the money because we don't have enough to take care of all the people. You know, and I know that flood insurance isn't covered under most people's stuff, but it just irritates me that we never seem to learn our lesson.
Yeah, people need to buy the insurance if it's out there, and especially if they're building in a floodplain, as many have done. And that's a challenge to look at. And so we have to wrestle with that. We're going to be hearing from the president. We're going to hear from FEMA. We're going to hear from the states as well. Fortunately, Texas is a state that fiscally has set itself to some degree in order. They have a fairly significant rainy day fund that is to be used for things like this. So as we...
Rainy day fund.
Yeah, I guess it's an appropriate term at this point in time.
Yeah.
But I think there is also the human issues that we deal with as American citizens. How do we support, encourage, and take care of some of the needs of our citizens who, in some cases, through no fault of their own, are put in a desperate situation? So that'll be something we'll be looking at. We'll be hearing reports, and there is no decisions made yet. We can't make those. We have to see the facts and statistics that come in along with the issues of human life itself. So that's one issue, but along with that is the plans to get through debt ceiling issue, get through a budget issue, and then ultimately get through appropriations process of eight remaining appropriations bills that haven't been passed out of the 12. The first four were taken care of before our August in-district work period, and that dealt with defense, military, veterans, and homeland security, as well as $1.6 billion for the border wall that we passed, responding to the president's request in that area. So all goes together.
So now the House passed that, Tim, but did forgive my ignorance on this, did we have the Senate's cooperation on that as well or not?
Do you expect the Senate to cooperate?
Is this part of reconciliation?
No, that wasn't. This is not reconciliation.
Okay.
That was the Affordable Care Act repeal issue, and they didn't get that done. However, we hope that during their time back in the districts, the states during their August recess as well, they had the opportunity to hear from their citizens, and if they heard the same as I heard from mine, they need to get back here. They need to move a bill again to send to the House to put in the conference committee so we can move forward on that at the very least.
Yeah, how about you have Speaker Ryan take all you Republicans out of the House, because I know you won't get the Democrats come along, and just march to the other side of Capitol Hill and put up a few placards and make the statement, do your job, Mitch. Go to 51 votes. I don't care about the fear of Democrats coming. They would have done it. If they were in charge right now, they would be using 51 votes. And I don't know why this gutless McConnell just doesn't go and do 51 votes. If you pass an agenda that works for the American people, you don't have to worry about the Democrats coming back. And I don't understand, is he really a Democrat at heart? Is he really working to protect the establishment? Why won't he go to 51 votes?
Well, you're asking Ryan to lead that group.
I want the House towards McConnell,
and that's problematic in itself.
I just want the House.
I don't think so. Now let's talk serious here. Ryan has gone to McConnell. Ryan has asked for that change, and many of us have done the same.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Remember, on the health care vote, it didn't need 60 votes; it only needed 51, and it was 48 Democrats and 3 Republicans, including John McCain.
He is a Republican, I suppose. Yeah, okay.
Caused that to break down. So we're not talking about a need for 60 votes on that health care bill. We need 51. And so we have to get John McCain
out
or Susan Collins to come back and change their votes. Whatever it takes, that needs to be done. And it doesn't take 60 votes. It takes 51 because that was under reconciliation.
Yeah.
And that's the big issue there that we have to look at.
And that's still viable?
Pardon?
I'm sorry. I thought that was a dead issue. That is still viable?
That's still viable.
Thank you.
Wow.
That's still viable. And that's what I've been telling people in town halls all across my district these last 4 weeks in the district during the August in-district work period. Don't forget your senators. Call them. They are Democrats, yes. But they need to understand that the Affordable Care Act is melting down.
Yeah. And in our case, so it's our two pathetic
Democrats,
senators, Debbie Stabenow and Gary Peters, if they were on the side of the American people, they could take the place of Benedict McCain and Susan Collins and change that, right?
Murkowski, right. They could do that. They could change that. And they ought to. I've seen them step up to the plate for the confirmation process of Joan Larson, who's been pushed forward by the president for a nomination and confirmation to the appellate court. It's open. And both Peters and Stabenow have, to their credit, now released their blue slips. So the confirmation will begin. The hearings will begin this next week, in fact, when we come in. So that's a good step forward. So I would say be optimistic. Do what citizens ought to do. And even contact your senators if they aren't of your party. Contact them. Let them know where you're coming from. And that they need to at least advance the process, whether they support the type of change that will be put forward, yet it ought to go to a conference committee, and then Democrats and Republicans will sit at that conference table and hammer out a solution the best we can. And that's how it's supposed to work, not to a point where the Senate stops everything. It's supposed to slow things down. That's no problem with that. But ultimately, it can't just bring everything to a halt. And that's what they've done with this Affordable Care Act. Repeal and replace. If they don't want to repeal it totally, fine. No, and let's work on replacing what we need to fix it, to make it work for the American people. But you just can't sit on your hands and say, we will do nothing.
Yeah, which they're very good at, doing nothing. Well, let's talk tax reform a little bit, Tim. What's going on? Do we really have a shot at doing some? I mean, Trump said that once in a generation, we've got a shot at fixing this. Can we get some tax reform done before the end of the year?
Well, I believe we can, and that's been the position we've taken in the House for a year and a half now, and then getting the added benefit of having a president who was elected who says, I'll sign it if you get it to me, which is unusual. We haven't had that for the past 8 years. We have that opportunity. During the course of August, I'm told, and it was reported to us in a conference call last week with our entire House Republican conference, that the Senate leadership, the House leadership, and the White House, along with the Treasury Secretary and the President, are all in line together on the plan that's going to be laid out in detail for us coming up this Wednesday. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I understand it's basically the same principles that we've been following all along, reducing the overall burden across the board, taxpayers, going to a three rate setting, and that would be 15, 25, and 35. All the individuals and businesses I've talked with that would move to 15% tax rate would be in their glory,
yeah,
with great opportunities to expand businesses, to increase number of employees, to add benefits and opportunities, and do what the private sector does, and that's grow an economy. So that's where we look at reducing the number of deductions, exemptions, special benefits, and putting us more on a level playing field across the board with anybody that's capable of having a job and paying taxes, or having a business and paying taxes. So I'm looking forward to voting for it. Will it be perfect? No, absolutely not. There will be some negotiation. But on this, I think we can get some Democrats to support us, and hopefully we'll have enough Republicans so we don't have to go for too many Democrats, except the ones that are fair-minded and believe that they're representing their districts and trying to reduce the burden and the confusing nature of the present tax code that hasn't been reformed since 1986.
So this is something, those of us, a call to action for those of us here in Michigan, listeners of the show, readers of The Current, this is where we can get those phone numbers for Gary Peters and Debbie Stabenow, because she's up for re-election. So she really needs to find a way, because she may very well lose to Bob Young. And if there happens to be a Kid Rock run, I think for sure she would lose to him. But I think her seat is not safe. I really believe that, because I think Bob Young, as Joe, who calls us all the time, tells us, all he needs out of Wayne County is 30%, and he's going to take the rest of the state. We could easily get Debbie Stabenow out. So if we can get some votes, get people to call her and tell her to get on board, or you are done in 2018. I hope she is anyways. But
yeah, but it's a motivator in between now and then.
Yes, because, you know, so that's something. And Derek, let's get phone number for Debbie Stabenow put up, and we'll use it after the break. But
make sure you call all of your members of Congress, all the listeners that are hearing this program.
Yeah.
Wherever you are in the state of Michigan, or if you have friends and family in other parts of the state of Michigan that you could get on track to call their legislators, House members, and Senate members as well. None of us are in safe districts. In this mood, this climate,
except
this
Debbie Dingell.
Yeah.
You need to realize all of us cannot count on the fact that we're in safe districts, and we need to be listening to the people. So don't let somebody else do it without you doing it. Each of your listeners ought to be doing that.
Right. And so let me ask you, Tim, because I know kind of in the back of your head you're thinking that, because we've had a few Republicans here in this state, congressmen, and they have not been, you know, we talk all the time about compromise with the Democrats trying to get something done, and yet when we've got a House controlled by the Republicans and we have a Senate controlled by Republicans and a president that is Republican, and yet we've got a fractured Republican Party where we've got people like John McCain and Justin Amash and other people who are not going along to get along. They're not compromising at all. They're sticking to the things and keeping what should have been done in this first 6 months from being done.
There's no unity.
Yeah. How do we deal with these oddball Republicans? And it goes in both directions, you know, far left or far right or far moderate, whatever you want to call them. How do we get them to be – how do we get the Republican Party to at least operate – as well as the Democrat Party, and stick together and get something done? It just drives me insane when I see these arguments going on.
Well, we've got a problem that the Democrats don't have, that there are many of us that believe in party over, policy over party, and or country over party. And so sometimes you just have to stand up and say no. But there are times when if you stand up and just say no and are unwilling to compromise toward a solution, which our government is set up to be, a set of 435 House members, 100 senators, that compromise to a way forward that that protects the liberties of our country, the freedoms and opportunities of our country, and the limited government that ought to be in our country. And that's Republicans. That's not Democrats. They're willing to accept anything that's party over country, even at times, because party is the most important, and limited government isn't their mindset. It's larger government. So we have that challenge. But I would encourage, in talking to Republicans and Democrats, as your listeners do, depending on who represents them, to talk toward basic principles. We have to make the tax code less confusing, less onerous, less large, and bring the taxes down in rates that would encourage growth in the economy that not only includes the general economy, but each one's personal economy as well. And so to look at a tax rate, for instance, of 15, 25, and 35, it gives opportunity for all that to take place. And so I would make sure that you contact, regardless of a Libertarian or a conservative Republican or a moderate Republican or a Democrat, that you talk along those frameworks and saying, this is for the good of your citizens and gives opportunity for this country to expand and get back to a place that is self-supporting, without government controlling everything that goes on.
Right. Tim, you know, there's a guy, former radio host, Bill Bennett, and I've met Bill, I know him, and he's spoken highly of Paul Ryan, and I've given Paul Ryan the benefit of the doubt, much to the concern of a lot of my conservative friends over the years, over the last couple of years easily. And we're coming up on the whole thing with DACA right now. And if there's one thing conservatives have been upset about, it's been the executive orders, the immigration freebies that Obama was giving out, basically the lawless behavior concerning immigration in a number of areas, obviously. And now Trump's supposed to do something about DACA shortly, even Tuesday, I understand. And yet Ryan is asking him to hold off so that now the House can come up with some way of accommodating all the dreamers so that they can codify what Obama did illegally. And that is a very frustrating concept. And I wonder about the motivation for doing that. I understand that you're in a position, I think most of our listeners would understand, that as a member of the House of Representatives and the Republican caucus, that you have to deal with Ryan. He's in a position of power. If you want to get stuff done, you've got to not upset the guy who's, you know, the head of the organization. And at the same time, I'm finding it, and a number of people are finding Ryan very problematic on issues like this. What's going to happen with DACA and why?
Well, it remains to be seen. Right now we're hearing that the president himself may be extending DACA and extending it at least in a partial fashion.
Well, that's the opposite of what I heard, that he was actually going to cut it, and Ryan was asking him to let it alone until the House could deal with it.
And see, that's the challenge of getting the news and getting it accurately. The president is wrestling with that, I know for a fact, in the communications we've had. Ryan wrestles with it not from a position of wanting to violate laws or not to go after some of the crazy things and illegal things that the president did, President Obama, beforehand, in suspending even rule of law at times. He has to deal with 435 members, but more importantly, get at least 218 members of the Republican conference that aren't made up of all ranked conservatives, But you have moderates from New York and California, as well as ultra-conservatives or libertarians from other parts of the nation as well. So Paul has the responsibility to tell Mr. President, tell you what, there are several key things we have to get done right now, not the least of which is the budget, not the least of which is the debt ceiling issue, and with members that want to also exact some benefits and changes from that to get our fiscal house in order again. But there are a number of other things that we have to get accomplished. So let's pick our emotional battles as carefully as possible and see where we go from here to live another day to fight the additional battle that comes on. That's what Paul Ryan is talking to the president about, and I think they're having very solid, productive communications. Paul has oftentimes explained to us that he and the president have been working together behind the scenes very well and continuously, numbers of times during the course of a week in contact by phone or in person. And it's just the battle right now of trying to change all that we have to change. And again, if you look at the record of what the Speaker and the House Republicans have done, we've not let the American people down on anything so far. We've done everything we said we would do and sent it to the Senate. That's where the breakdown has been. So you have to consider that as well, how in the world you work with a Senate in such a way, get it to the president's desk, because in the end, nothing changes unless the president is able to sign it. So I think that's what you need to keep in mind. The president has to consider very carefully what he does. The leader of both houses have to consider what they do in order to get the votes and count the right number of votes in the end to get what's necessary to the president. So what's priority for the issue you want to take on first?
Yeah.
Do you take the low-hanging fruit first? Do you put something in the way that makes more controversy and causes people to say, well, I'm not going to vote on this unless you give me assurance that DACA won't go away, or I won't vote on it unless you tell me DACA is going away. So that's the Solomon's sword battle that Paul Ryan has at sometimes.
Yeah, let me. We've got Ken from Livonia's got a comment about Obamacare. Derek, do you want to bring him on? Keep it short, Ken. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to quickly comment on two topics that I've been hearing during this discussion. One regarding Obamacare, and I'm calling because I know I represent a lot of voters. I want Obamacare repealed but not replaced. I had health care. I was paying for it out of pocket before Obamacare, and it was taken from me. The replacement option is something I couldn't afford. Well, the problem is with the Republicans, what they want to do is basically keep most of Obamacare. So I do not support replacing it. Let's just get rid of it and go back to the way things were. That's my first point. Second point, you talk about Kid Rock. Now, I'm a Bible-believing Christian, and I could never vote for a libertarian because of their views on abortion and on drug use. And I know there's a lot of people out there like me who can never vote for Kid Rock. So why am I hearing people talk about Kid Rock like he is the next savior of the Republican Party?
Well, you're not, because he hasn't filed yet, Ken, number one. So let's not even go any farther with that discussion while we've got Timmy.
Hey, by the way, Ken, happy International Bacon Day.
Yes, everybody, happy International Bacon Day, and have a BLT.
Thank you, Ken. Take care.
Well, Ken brings up the issue. That's the challenge. There are plenty of us, and you can't just say Republicans all want. Ken's wrong on that. Ken's immeasurably wrong on that. Now, the majority of Republicans would love to repeal, but you got to deal with getting the 218 votes in the House and the 51 votes in the Senate to get something to the president to sign. That's the challenge. And so the fact that we didn't do what was necessary to keep Obama from getting elected the first time and then keeping him in for the second time, and it was our fault. We didn't get it done. We saw how we could get it done with Trump, but we didn't get it done before. You don't change 8 years of bad policy less than a year.
Yeah,
you don't get it done.
Yeah.
And you don't do it unless you have those 218 votes. That's what we're going for. I would love to repeal it.
Yeah.
I don't think government should be in health care.
Okay.
Live with what we got.
Yeah. Well, Tim, thank you so much for calling in. And unless you want to stay over.
Can you stay?
I'd love to, but I got to get to my niece's wedding.
Okay. All right. Tim, we'll see you next month.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
People are always on the move, driving to work, hauling the kids to practice. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for intelligent conversation with hosts like Joe Pags, Glenn Beck, Theron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600 and whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. More emergency flood control needs doing in Houston. That prompts a warning from the mayor.
Two reservoirs are undergoing controlled release. That released water is going to flood several thousand homes for the next 2 weeks. The mayor is saying if you're in that flood zone, you have to get out.
It is creating an increasing strain on our first responders when we are asking them to cover the entire 640 square miles, when they are now in the process of going door to door.
The mayor is also asking for $75 million. That's just for debris cleanup.
Fox's Steve Harrigan. President Trump and First Lady Melania now getting an up-close and personal view of the flood damage. Many victims still waiting to be rescued.
Yesterday, we spent the day with FEMA going door to door in an area south of Houston, and we watched people who were still inside of their homes.
Fox's Matt Finn. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing care facilities you've ever seen. All WellBridge locations offer a resort-like atmosphere, and their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. Here's former patient Evelyn Danielson from Brighton.
It was excellent. It wasn't only just the physical part of it, doing your exercises with them. It was the RNs, even down to the kitchen people that came in and said, what can we fix you? What do you like? We'll try to do it for you. And everything with a smile, I couldn't get over. I would heartily recommend WellBridge.
For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge. In Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team, WellBridge invites everyone to learn more about them at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
It's been 5 years since we met Kelly Brighton, just before her weight loss surgery.
I was almost 300 pounds. Because of the Michigan Bariatric Institute, I've lost the weight. I now have the tools to keep it off. I'm a better mom, I am a better wife, and I'm just a better Kelly Brighton, I think.
Begin your journey. Try a free monthly educational seminar at St. Joe's Livingston. Visit stjoeshealth.org/MBI to learn more.
Welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Ed Bondarenka.
Hey.
And I know we didn't get to all the questions for Tim that we wanted to, but we'll see if we can get him on a second time this month. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll text him up.
And if you come up with some questions, let us know. If you
absolutely.
Have some stuff you want to ask us.
If you have things that you want us to ask Tim, Facebook? You can always email me, Gary@thedailydrift.com, and you can reach Ed on Facebook, and you can reach me on Facebook and Twitter. @GaryDailyDrift, and you're on Twitter at Ed.
You don't even remember.
How is that possible? You're not on Twitter enough if you don't know your handle, brother.
You're
That's
right.
all I can say.
All Senior right, well, moment.
Anyway, let's take care of our sponsor this hour, AAA Service Network. It is fall, whether you want to believe it or not, and it is time for you to get that furnace fired up probably in the next month.
I fired it up this week. Are you kidding me?
Oh, that's terrible.
It's my wife.
I'm going to live with the cold as long as I can before I turn it on and start giving money to DTE, that's for sure. But if you want to get something done on your house, be it hot water tanks, your furnaces, your air conditioning, anything, sump pumps, you name it, water softeners, AAA Service Network can fix it for you. 1-800-FIX-IT-NOW.com is the website, 1-800-FIX-IT-NOW.com, or you can call 734-663-6200. That's 734-663-6200. Ed's got a good company. He takes care of his customers and has all kinds of coupons in the back of the current, couranton.com. If you don't get it, a hard copy mailed to you, you can go right online and get it for free, couranton.com.
Did you say his name is Ed?
Ed.
Well, duh.
He's
got to
be a good guy,
yeah,
right?
Duh.
Yeah, he's got to be a good guy. So, well, let's take a quick call from Joe on line one. He want to talk Kid Rock. Why do we... Joe,
go ahead. I don't see Kid Rock on our agenda. Thanks, Ken.
Go ahead, yeah, Joe. What do you got?
Ken brought him up, and yeah, there's the Detroit News article I thought you'd be interested in about... A left-leaning group, Common Cause, filing a complaint is Kid Rock breaking campaign finance law. And frankly, I like Kid Rock. I'm a fan. But yes, he's breaking campaign finance law. He needs to get off the pot.
Whoa, you didn't say that.
Yeah,
I didn't hear that.
Hopefully we
said spit.
That one.
Hey, by the way, you did see Kid Rock's response on Facebook, right, where he's holding the Verners and the Coney Island?
Also unmentionable, by the way.
So I didn't say anything. I just said there's a response, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. He's kind of just sucking oxygen out of the room until he actually steps up or gets off the pot one way or the other, and he needs to do that. So I tweet to his whatever, and you never know on Twitter if it's actually him or
it's
just somebody doing...
It's the handler.
It might not even be a handler. It could be some schmuck. I don't know who it is. But anyways, yes.
Well,
at Real Kid Rock.
Facebook, they're quoting the article. It says, Richie said in his July 27 blog post that money raised at this time through the sale of merchandise, which clearly says Kid Rock, U.S. Senate, that clearly puts him under finance law, is going to go to voter registration efforts. Then he needs to file a PAC. He needs to make Kid Rock PAC. And that would be a great thing, and he can continue to sell these novelty items to raise money for that PAC, and then he could run anti-Stabenow ads. Imagine how effective a Kid Rock PAC ad would be at the end, anti-Stabenow paid for by the Kid Rock PAC.
Joe, candidates can't be involved with a PAC, so right there there's a cross-connect that's not allowed by law.
Well, if he's not really a candidate, I guess. And so I would just say, let's not I don't want to give him any more airtime until he actually gets off the pot, right? So for me, the best, most qualified candidate is still Bob Young.
Junior.
Absolutely.
Junior. And I think you heard me in the first half hour. He only needs what, Joe? 30% of Wayne County, and he's probably going to win.
Who told us that?
Right? That was
Joe.
Give or take a couple percentage points. Yeah. Trump proved it. Trump only won the state by 10,000 votes, but he got the 30%-ish area needed.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what it takes. So Bob Young is a good guy, well-qualified, probably as tough and crazy anti-establishment as anything you'd get out of Kid Rock. At least he sounds like it when he's on this show. And so I'm all on Bob Young until something else happens here. And he's a great candidate and certainly ready to rip into Debbie Stabenow if we see a debate. I'm hoping that happens.
But, Bob, we know you're listening. Step up the social media, please.
Yeah, you got to get out there. Got to be. He's a great candidate. People
he's
need
doing
to know
grassroots.
He's candidate.
Everywhere. I've been watching. He's going to all these open houses. Yeah. And,
well, that's important.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's important. So hopefully
that's a bone of contention I have with him, too. I've mentioned it to his campaign manager. I need to sit Bob Young down personally the next time I see him. You guys, too, to step up the social media. He says he has millennials working on that. Well, we all know millennials generally do the minimum possible work.
They're probably high in their mom's basement.
Yeah, well, most millennials.
Pressure
not,
them to do more.
Yeah, exactly. What else you got, Joe? Anything?
Oh, that's it. Because we see the other person, which I'm not going to mention her name.
Yes, please, don't.
All over in group postings and stuff. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not enough just to have your own page and post stuff. You've got to share it with groups and stuff. Do these millennial nitwits not understand how the thing works?
Yeah. Well, I can tell you this. There's a reason Fox 2 Detroit, which is a very liberal station, right, in my book anyways, and there's a reason they put her on all the time, because they want to lose her on the Republican side, so they give her all the airtime they can in order to give Debbie Stabenow all the leg up in the general elections.
That's the story of how I heard Snyder got where he got, is that there were liberals in Ann Arbor, a couple of wealthy liberals, who said, look, if we're going to lose, you know,
let's go with the liberal rhino. Yeah, yeah,
exactly. And it worked.
All right, well, thanks for the call, Joe. Appreciate it. Right. Keep up the good work.
Take care, my friend.
You too. Bye-bye.
See you, Joe. Oh, and happy International Bacon Day.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk about that for a second. I didn't even know. Why didn't anybody tell me? I would have had bacon this morning.
Hey, Ken called in earlier to Linda Rick's show, and he mentioned it.
International Bacon.
I looked it up.
Folks,
it is. There's a bacon wiki.
Huh?
There's a wiki devoted to bacon.
What's a wiki?
Oh, that's like a Wikipedia or a knowledge base, an online knowledge base.
All right. Well, let's take a quick call from Tom, who got a comment on Obamacare. Go ahead, Tom. What do you got?
Oh, I got a couple of things. One thing I was going to say, on that bacon, I don't have any craving at all for bacon. I haven't had for years. I credit that with Dr. David Brownstein, a book called Salt Your Way to Health. I think the majority of Americans are deficient in sodium.
It's just crazy talk.
Contractions for thinking. It's chemical electric, the human body is. But getting on to the Obamacare, okay, I'm in Detroit in an urban area,
yeah.
And people around here, I mean, they love Obamacare, and I got a whole different view over here. And, when Republicans come out and they say, oh, just repeal it, we want it like it was, it's kind of like, let them eat cake. And, you know, the definition of cake was, back in Mary Antoinette's time, was when the chimneys, their wood stoves would develop like a thick creosote on there that had to be cleaned out, and a black soot almost. Sometimes it's real gooey if you burn certain woods. But that's what cake was, okay? And, I mean, I'm just saying, the amount of wealth that's been drained out of this country. I was working in the automotive back in the 60s, and we were a rich country. We were the greatest creditors in the whole world, and now we're the biggest debtors. And, I mean, that's why the Republicans, they're not getting any traction, because people are hurting. I mean, that's my opinion. And
yeah, well, and you know what, Tom? And that goes to the point that I'm making, why I'm so hard on Mitch McConnell. Because you know what? I truly believe that getting the corporate tax rate down, that unleashing the American business machine, will bring people up, including in the inner cities. And so it aggravates me when people say, oh, Trump's just doing wealthy stuff for the wealthy people. That's bull. That is bull. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got better employment going right now. We've got more people coming back into the workforce. The stock market happens to be up as well. But why won't the rest of the elitist Republicans jump on board with this and get it? Because you know what? If we're all back to work, we're not going to vote Democrat looking for entitlements. We're going to vote Republican looking for jobs.
You know, Tom, I was looking at health insurance a while back. I was thinking about changing jobs last year, and the interim health insurance was Obamacare. And it was an absolute – it was insurance, but I'd be spending like $12,000 out of pocket before I saw a penny of any insurance refund towards me. And imagine if you're only making $24,000, $30,000 a year, in the area, so let's say in the urban area you live in, then what good is that doing you? And yet I know middle-class people who have been just devastated. They're self-employed. They're like tutors, music teachers, store owners. They are absolutely devastated by the costs, the healthcare costs that have gone up. I'm not so devastated myself, but I am negatively affected by the healthcare rise because of Obama-era healthcare policies. I mean, my out-of-pocket's gone up quite a bit, so the raise that I got changing jobs was negated by the healthcare costs that was passed on to me.
Well,
it's a hidden cost.
I sometimes wonder, Tom, down in your neck of the woods, if you're in Detroit, how many of those people, so they have Obamacare, maybe they were heavily subsidized and were able to get insurance, but it makes me wonder, how many of them actually go into the doctor and can afford the deductibles, if there are any, and because I don't know.
Are they employed? Are they marginally employed? Are they on welfare?
Or are they on Medicaid?
No, some people are, and some people are on permanent welfare.
Yeah.
I don't socialize that much around here. I'm an older guy, and actually most of the houses right around me are abandoned, and I only have a few neighbors. I talk to them, but not, you know, I don't get.
Can you give the neighborhood
their financial affairs?
Can you give a rough neighborhood? I'm just curious.
Well, I get along with all my neighbors. I go out for walks, you know, but I carry a 9mm. And, so you know, I don't go out without it.
So you're like Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino, right? Stay off my lawn.
Well, I'm working in Detroit now, and I'm driving through.
I don't get smart with anybody. I don't, you know, try to stare anybody down. If somebody's coming down the street on my side, I'll, you know, and they look, you know, like they're going to be tough or something, I'll walk to the other side of the street. Hey, you're the winner. You know, you stared me down.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, they're not. There's a certain distance where I'm not going to let somebody get close to me.
Right.
You know, if somebody comes up and starts trying to get close to me, I start backing off a little bit, it's body language, and it seems to be well read around in this neighborhood.
Yeah. Good. All right, Tom. Well, thanks for the call. Good to know, and keep us informed on that, would you?
There's one other thing I wanted to say.
Go ahead.
If I got a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Obamacare, where it says that you have to buy it, it's in United States Code Title 26 at 5000A. Okay? That's in the section for excise taxes. So what this really is, this is a direct tax, but it's disguised as an excise tax. And in the case, the International Businessman versus Service, the Obamacare case, that was only businesses that went in there. They didn't have a person, a man on the land, a private individual going in there without an attorney fighting for their rights.
Right. I thought that was rescinded. I thought that order was rescinded and you don't have to buy health care now.
At Section G, it says that they can't bring criminal charges and they can't do liens and levies if you don't pay the penalties. But, I mean, I suppose they just keep your refund and I don't know if they could go after your Social Security or not.
Yeah, that's what I had heard, that they can keep your refund. That's the only thing I had heard.
I'd heard it was rescinded, but Trump did an executive order and was rescinded.
He might have. Yeah, he might have. All right, well, thanks, Tom. Appreciate the call.
You're welcome.
All right, take care. Let's take a quick call from Walter on line one. Go ahead, Walter.
Hey, guys, I want to bring up something about, I just heard, did you guys just say that nobody has to pay, it's possible nobody has to pay the fine, or has that been done away, their part, or is that
I thought, like
what?
Ed said, I thought the Trump administration had said they were not going to fine people,
yeah.
But I don't hold me that.
I
thought I had
that
heard
up,
that, but I don't.
Because it didn't apply to me directly, I didn't really look it up immediately, but that's what I had heard, that was one of the first things Trump did.
Yeah, so,
well,
yeah, what else you got, Walter?
That within itself would be a great blessing to the tax filers, because believe it or not, if I hadn't had health care to kick in within the 3 months in my job, when I first, this new job I'm on,
yeah, well,
I would have been fined $1,100.
Yeah, what scares me most about the IRS is that this Koskinen fella, the guy that looks like from Lord of the Rings, the little Gollum guy, right?
my
he's
precious.
Still there. Why is he still there? That's what I want to know. Why is he there? And I had read recently that they brought back like 200 people into the IRS that they'd been booted out because of that investigation, and now he's bringing them back. This guy needs to be gone and gone now, and files charged against him. I want to know who in the IRS is paying the price for targeting conservative groups. That's what I want to know.
Yeah, they need to revisit that. None of them bombs should get away with nothing, man. It needs to be a lot of arrest of all the crooks, man. Hillary on down.
Yeah.
But anyway, Barack Obama, too, by the way, the ringleader of the liars and the deceivers.
Okay, Walter.
Let me say this, though, but hello?
Walter, it says here, on Trump's order, IRS stops enforcing Obamacare fines. So they're still there on the books, but the IRS has been directed not to enforce them. That's how the executive order works.
Well, that's good. Well, like I say, if the people have to pay a fine the next time around, next year, when they file next year, which is a few months away, I don't think none of those clowns going to get voted back in for stalling around. And basically, you guys know, like I know, It's not all about, we need to pass this, we don't need to pass that, we need to hold up. It's all about half of those clowns do not like Donald Trump. And they're willing to hold this whole country hostage because they hate Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that. Let's not be deceived.
Yeah.
Okay? We already know John McCain can't stand him because of, it's called revenge. And they're willing to hold the whole country. But let me say something about real quick. About the subsidies. Ed talked about the subsidies. I'm going to tell you something. If you wait between $20,000 and $30,000, you probably ain't going to get no subsidies, no matter how big your household size is with wife, husband, and children. If you hit that $30,000 mark, you call in those so-called HEF lines and stuff like that, get subsidies, it probably ain't going to work because they're going to transfer your wealth right out of your pocket, too. They have the voice is for the working poor. The guy that just got off the phone, a lot of people in Detroit on the Obamacare because some of them are working poor, probably making $20,000 a year with a big family, or they're poor, according to American standards of poor.
Well, if they're poor enough, they're going to be on...
They got an Obama phone and a cell phone.
Yeah, if they're poor enough, they're going to be on Medicaid anyways. It's got nothing to do with Obamacare,
right? But that's part of the expansion also.
That is the expansion.
If you're making $30,000 or between probably $30,000 to $35,000, you're going to be paying for those poor people. It's coming out of your check. Your check's going to be smaller than your federal taxes.
It's all right. The debt ceiling's coming up.
That's the transfer of wealth that he purposely is working against this country, transferred wealth from our checks to help the poor, the broke, busted, and disgusted, and all the rest of them.
Yeah. All right. Great points, Walter.
Thanks,
appreciate
Walt.
It. We got another call I'm going to take from Tom in South Lyon. Tom, welcome to the show.
How you guys doing?
Good.
A couple customers or people I ran across don't like Trump because he's been lying to us consistently and then pointed out that he's golfed more than most presidents have in the past. And I said, that's not true. Obama golfed almost every day. And also points of that the Secret Service is paying out so much money because they have to protect his wife and son when they're in New York. And I'm just not buying this. And then when I find somebody that doesn't like Trump and voted for Hillary, they don't want to talk about it. I don't talk politics. I said, no, you got to talk the current events. You got to get this out here and talk. Why don't you like Trump? And they just say he can't be trusted. He's a billionaire, and he has no... he's not on the level of just the John the Plumber.
Yeah, and that is the most vile and heinous and ugly statement ever, because he has done more in 6 months. And this is what people, the media is not telling these idiots what's really happening, because they're focusing on Melania's shoes or the hat she wore to the hurricane, whatever. When Donald Trump is on vacation, he works. He works through his vacation. He may be at Mar-a-Lago, or he may be in New York, and her and what's his son's
Barron.
Name? Barron are now in. They've made the transfer. They wanted to finish out the school year like anybody would do. You wouldn't take your kid out of school when the end of the school year is coming up. You would just start him at the new school in Washington next time around.
That cost of them staying in New York was minimal compared to all the sprees and vacations that Michelle and her two daughters went on worldwide, continuous vacations, taxpayer expense with full Secret Service protection, convoys, aircraft, shuttling vehicles for motorcades. Yeah.
And I tried bringing that up, saying the Obamas and the money that they took and the trips that they took were so lavish in two separate planes because Michelle couldn't travel with the president.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, you're deflecting. I'm talking about Trump right now. I want you to tell me, what has Trump done? What has he done? I said, we don't hear about it because the alphabet news media won't tell us anything about Trump.
Here's what he has done. He's undone almost all of the Obama executive orders, right? So they don't tell you that, but he's done that. Here's another one. Illegal immigrants coming across the border, right? 70% less under Trump.
Yeah.
There's another big one. The border wall is going to be getting built, and all the guys that work for DHS along the border are all very happy that they've now had their handcuffs taken off and they can do their job. So there's a ton of things that he's done, and anyone who wants to say that is just an uneducated, ill-informed moron who is just being anti-Trump because they've listened to the idiots on CNN and MSNBC and ABC. It's that simple.
Trump derangement syndrome.
Yes, TDS.
Well, the one customer, just before I was leaving for the day at her house working, said, come here and look. And she brought up a website that showed Trump has golfed so much more. And I said, that's off the website. And she thinks by me listening to AM radio, which I listen to everybody, you know, Prager, Rick Limbaugh, you know, Glenn Beck and all them guys.
The Theron's.
And Laura Ingraham. I said, at least I think I'm getting some monocle of truth. I'm getting a certain percentage of truth. They're being delivered by different messengers, but they all have almost the same message. I said, so she thinks I'm an idiot for listening to the radio bullshit, you know, stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, so, Tom, whatever you do, keep to your guns, man. There is a list. You can literally make a nice handout list of things that he's done, and man, you don't want to give them to your
customer. It starts with Neil Gorsuch.
Yeah. If they're your customer, you certainly don't want to argue with them, because that's how you make a living. But, you know, if they want to get into a legitimate common sense debate, you can name off the things that he's done, because, you know what, things are better now than they were 12 months ago. That simple.
Oh, man.
You know, that's
I'm telling you, I mean, when the day I heard Hillary lost and Trump won, it's like the lion with the one guy, the book, Narnia, where the cloud of
Aslan.
The nation, just this gray cloud lifted, and we could see, you know, we could see blue skies again. That's how I felt.
And the hallelujah chorus involved also.
Yeah. I think any American who's working, any American who's an investor or a business owner knew doggone well the minute Trump was elected, things were getting better. And you're seeing the results of that now, not only in the stock market, but in the unemployment rate and in new business startups and in business expansions. It's happening. This is the way to go. And we're doggone lucky that Trump won. And all you Trump haters, eat it. That's all I can tell you.
I see hiring signs everywhere now, you know?
Oh, yeah. Big difference.
Yeah.
All right. Great call, Tom. I appreciate it. You keep up the good work. Take care. All right. So we're running down on the end of the hour, and we've got to nothing that I wanted to really get to.
I knew this was going to happen the second half hour.
But here's one, right? So Antifa, right, should be declared
a
domestic
terrorist
group, right?
And they're finally, not on the Southern Poverty Law Center's group of terrorists.
Oh, yeah.
Why is that, I wonder?
I don't know. But let's play, Derek, you got that Antifa track. Now, even Joe Scarborough, who is the ultimate anti-Trump liberal moron, even though he claims to be a Republican,
I think he switched,
is now seeing the light when it comes to Antifa. Because you can't not watch what they're doing at these rallies, beating up on people. If you're wearing a mask in public, why are you wearing a mask? Because you're guilty of something or about to be guilty of something. It's that simple. People wear masks who are going to be guilty of something.
Or to intimidate.
You got that one ready, Derek? Go ahead and play it.
Joe Scarborough isn't a fan of the Antifa movement. Website Red State shares that during Monday's edition of Morning Joe, host Joe Scarborough, after seeing coverage of this weekend's Antifa violence in Berkeley, concluded that Antifa are the real fascists. After showing video of black-clad and masked Antifa beating Trump supporters and anyone they thought looks like a Nazi, he commented, "They're fascists in their behavior, aren't they? There's nothing anti-fascist about that."
Yeah, and go ahead, you were going to say.
Well, yeah, Pelosi also has finally agreed. Hey, look, I'd like to promote something I mentioned to Linda on her show. And there's an interesting YouTube out, and search for Former Antifa Speaks Out, Stephen Molyneux. Great 90-minute interview with a former Antifa thug.
Yeah. All right. Until next week, folks, go to thedailydrift.com.
For the news you need to know.
Yeah. Stay informed and call into the show next week and look us up on Facebook and Twitter. We'll see you next week.
God bless you.